View because I've been attending the Mid Valley Preachers Elders conferences for several weeks, so I've actually gotten to meet Jason before most of you. But I'm going to read you a little bit that he's given me about his background. Both Jason and Amanda, and there's Amanda back there. There she is. Wave your hand again so everyone can see you, Amanda. And that's the boys with her. Jason and Amanda were both born and raised in Wyoming. They met in Wyoming Bible camp, were married down by the river there. Jason graduated from the University of Wyoming with a degree in electrical engineering. And I'm going to add something here that he did not add to this, but he was the chief electrical engineer on an aircraft carrier for several years. So he has lots of electrical experience. That was before he was called into the ministry. Now that's a financial sacrifice, I will tell you, because electrical engineers make more than preachers. So, but this is a choice of his. Jason and Amanda were apprentices in West Virginia University. That was for their biblical training there. Jason has been campus minister at Oregon State University for the past 10 years. The three boys are Josiah 10, Jaron 8, and Justin 2. And their family enjoys hiking, camping, playing games. And that's an overview, but he does a lot more than that. When we were setting up, he likes to speak from down lower. So one of the people said, well, we're coming down low. And I said, yeah, but we've got a preacher that's way up high. So I'm going to put this up.
All right, thank you. Well, good morning, church. We'll kind of move this out of the way. We won't need it anymore. I like walking around, so I don't like staying stuck. I was stuck here this morning, and I was still walking around, so I had to talk a lot louder every time I moved away. I enjoy being here, and I want to say thank you to everybody. The hospitality yesterday, we got to meet with the ministry search committee yesterday and have dinner with them, and we shared a good evening hanging out with them, and we really enjoyed that. Actually, I know quite a few of the students here because I have been working at Round Lake Christian Camp. I've been a counselor up there for a lot of years, and I teach the high schoolers. I also help with some of our, the spiritual development there. So we call it chapel, or we used to call it chapel, that time, and some of the skits and different things that we do. Those were the things that I was involved in. And yeah, in terms of money, you know, I took a major pay cut when I left engineering to go into ministry, but I like to say the benefits are out of this world. Somebody doesn't think my jokes are fun. Well, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here. We love mothers, and we enjoy mothers. And, you know, we think about mothers and how great mothers are, but sometimes we don't appreciate mothers like we should. I think of a kid by the name of Milo, and this is what he has to say about mothers. What in the world is the big deal about mothers? They're summer stealing, child working, perfumey garden goblins. Mothers are also bellowing broccoli bullies and carrot cuddling cuckoos with no sense of humor. Sometimes we just don't appreciate the discipline, the training, and some of the things that mothers do. And the irony of this is that a lot of kids that say this, it's because they have a good mother, and they don't appreciate it. Well, this is Berkeley Breathe's book, Mars Needs Moms, and the Martians on Mars, they know that they need a mom. And so they look around and they see that they're in total chaos on Mars. And so these Martians on Mars decide that they are going to go to Earth and find a mother. And so they end up at Milo's house, and they're going to steal his mom. And even though Milo does not appreciate his mom and does not understand what's going on, he wants to find out what's going on. Why would you want my mom? So Milo sneaks behind the Martians, and he gets onto the spacecraft, and he flies with the Martians to Mars. And as he gets there, he's amazed at what he sees, and he sees why Mars might need moms. Because they need someone to drive them to all their events, to set up play dates, to cook, to clean, to dress them, to pack their lunches, to help them with homework, to bandage their boo-boos, and most importantly, to change the diapers. Moms are good at those. Dads, maybe not so much. They need a mom to bring discipline, to bring training and focus, to love them enough to sacrifice for them. And I love this picture because notice Milo's mom here. She looks like she's ready for this challenge. And she's ready to bring discipline, training, and focus. So Milo is standing there and he sees this from the edge of the ship. Nobody knows that he's there. And he takes a step to go to the ladder and he trips. And he falls, head over heels. And he bounces and bounces and bounces. And boom, he hits the ground. And all of a sudden, he starts choking and gasping. He can't breathe. And everyone knows that breathing Martian air is like breathing mustard. He sucks it in, and instantly he grows weak and dizzy, and things begin to go black. But then all of a sudden, he can breathe again. And he starts coming out, and his mom had run to him. She'd taken her own mask, pulled it off of her head, and stuck it on to Milo. And now she's laying there with him. And she says, "I'll love you to the ends of the universe." And so Milo and the Martians realize what they all had missed. It's not just about all the things that the mom does, but it's about the love of a mother. And just then, a quick-thinking Martian rushes up with another helmet and puts it on Milo's mom, and they return back to Earth, and Milo wakes up in the morning in his mom's bed, wrapped up and curled up next to her. And he now knows and appreciates the love of his mother. You know, the love of a mother is an amazing thing. It leads to sacrifice, it leads to a lack of appreciation, and it leads to a commitment to love no matter what happens. So this morning we celebrate moms. And if your mom is still alive, then I want to encourage you to thank her for giving you the gift of life. Thank her for trying to do the best for you. But I realize sometimes our mom couldn't or didn't do some of these things. Some of the things that we saw Milo's mom doing. What if your mom was absent because she worked, because she was struggling with addiction, because she was chasing after so many other guys, or because of a divorce? What if she wasn't capable of training you because of all the things going on? Well, then, what hope do you have? Or what hope do these kids have? It kind of reminded me of a story in the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 2, of another mother. A mother who wanted to sacrifice for her daughter, or for her son, a mother who wanted to do the best, but knew that she just couldn't. She couldn't care for him the way that he needed. She couldn't raise him up. She knew that she needed help. She needed someone else. And so the story begins this way. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. A fine child that you're going to hide away. And the question that we might ask is, why are you hiding him? Why would you hide such a child? Could it be that recently Pharaoh had made a decree? Pharaoh said that every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. So this mother knew the danger. She knew that she was breaking the law. She knew that if she got caught, both her and her son were going to die. And yet, she took the chance. And she hid him for 3 months. But this mother knew that she couldn't keep him for long. So she came up with a plan, and she came up with a prayer. And it continues in Exodus 2, verse 3. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and dabbed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. The story begins to sound familiar, but let's think about and let's see some of the things that are going on here. So you think about the love of the mother. She's like, I can't do this. I can't do this all by myself. So she takes the child and puts him in a basket and sticks him in the water. And we don't know, was his sister, was she in on this? Was it planned? But we know that the sister was there and the sister was watching and waiting to see what's going to happen. And now the sister sees this. She sees this opportunity and sees this servant woman to pick up her brother. And we wonder, what is she going to do? And I think of the mother who knows that the only way her son will have a good life is if he is raised by another family. And so it continues. Pharaoh's daughter opens the basket, and she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." So Pharaoh's daughter is not oblivious to what's going on here. She sees this child. She sees a Hebrew child, a Hebrew son that's laying here, and she knows the decree. She knows what's going on, and yet the Bible says she took pity on him. She took pity on him. And then his sister, this boy's sister, said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" I can imagine Pharaoh's daughter smiling here. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. Do you see the scandal that's going on here? And the potential for a bad thing to happen? I think of this sister. This sister steps up and approaches Pharaoh's daughter. A slave girl approaching the daughter of Pharaoh. That's potential of some bad things happening. You could go to prison, you could get executed. A lot of bad stuff could happen, and yet she takes this chance for the sake of her brother. She takes a chance, a small touch, a small ask. And so the mother is brought. She raises her son and weans him till about 3 or 4 years old and brings him back so that he can be raised by Pharaoh's daughter. The sacrifice by the mother to give up her child, the possible catastrophe by Pharaoh's daughter to defy the decree of Pharaoh. And it continues. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. An amazing story of the beginning of this man, Moses. All of these women were in cahoots for the sake of Moses. They were in cahoots because they all knew what was going on. They knew what should happen, and yet they knew that what Pharaoh had decreed was wrong. And they said, I'm going to do something, even if it defies the law, even if it is something that most people would not do, I'm going to choose to do that for the sake of this boy. It's an amazing story, and it's a story that doesn't only depend on Jochebed, Moses' mom. Moses was also touched by his sister and Pharaoh's daughter and probably Pharaoh's servants as they help him and train him. And through the touches of these women and the work of God, Moses became the man needed, Moses became the man God needed him to be to then ultimately rescue Israel. All of these touches lead to an amazing thing. And so today, we celebrate moms. And we know that moms are important. Moms are very important to our lives. They love us, they feed us, they care for us, they teach us, they sacrifice. The sacrifice of a mom is amazing. And they're very important to us. And so we want to say thank you to our mothers. But like Moses, we need many different moms to be in our kids' lives. Women who will touch their lives in different ways, to love them, to train them, to be present in their lives, to stop and listen to them and simply care for them. Women that will invest in them and trust in the truth that God will be at work also, even if they don't see the final outcome. So do you remember the women that touched your life growing up? The way they helped you to become a disciple? The way that they walked with you and trained you and encouraged you? So I have three sons. And I love these boys tremendously, and their mother does an amazing job. She does amazing work with them to love them, to train them, to encourage them, to help them to become great men of faith. But I have a fear. I have a fear that my sons just might walk away from the faith. Because that's the cultural thing to do, to look at church and say, such and such happened, and I feel so bad about it, so I'm leaving, to find an excuse to walk away. And I don't want that to happen for my sons. And yet, already I have stories of different moms reaching into their life. I think of their Auntie Kate, who takes them every Monday night to give Amanda and I a date night. And she takes them and she encourages them, she does games with them, and she just spends time with them, encouraging them and loving on them. I think of Pam, who is a teacher, a Bible class teacher, and how she taught our kids Jesus loves me and how to find Jesus in the Bible, where they would open it up and find a picture of Jesus in the Bible. And the B-I-B-L-E song. I think of their grandmother, who was here a week ago as Amanda and I went down to the University of Pepperdine in the Pepperdine Bible Lectures, and their grandmother came and she fed them and she took care of them and she tried to teach them manners at the table. It's a hard thing for three boys, but she's working on that. And I think of the excitement a few weeks ago when I was here to visit Tyler Borman, and my middle son Jaron went to Bible class, and he came running down from Bible class, and he's waving a $5 bill. He's like, Dad, look at this. I got it in Bible class. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, they gave me $5 just for going to Bible class. He's like, no. It's because I know the 66 books of the Bible. And so he recited all 66 books of the Bible, and they gave him $5. He's so excited. He's never going to forget that. Neither will I. I was so shocked. I never got $5. But I got cookies. I remember the ladies in our church when I was a kid. And my mom was a new Christian. And they were raising up kids and trying to figure out how are we going to help these kids. And so they had us memorize all kinds of things. And I remember getting giant monster cookies because I memorized all kinds of different things. And brownies and those things. So women doing little things in our life that will lead to a faith that grows to the very end. So my sons need many moms if they're going to be faithful. And not just my sons, but all the kids in the church need many moms if they're going to be faithful. Along with moms, I want to celebrate and acknowledge all the other moms. The moms who choose to be moms by touching our kids, by loving our kids, by encouraging our kids with words and deeds and actions. Women that choose to care enough to ask how they're doing and then stop, get down on their level and listen. Women who come to the events of our kids, who teach our kids, who creatively do things for our kids and for their lives and the amazing things that they can do. And also women that pray for our kids regularly and that rest in the truth that God will be at work and that God will use all of these touches to grow faithful disciples that will ultimately go out and change the world. I know a lot of women are doing these things already, but I want to invite all women to join in this movement. And it's not just a task and something that to do and to add another thing on, but it's also to experience joy. To experience joy and love as one of our kids comes up remembering you and saying, guess what I did this week? Guess what happened this week? And the joy of touching their life, mentoring them, discipling them, being in their lives. But I don't just want to invite women. I also want to invite men into this too. I think of my sons in different ways that we can do this. One of the ways, there were two college students that decided they were going to spend a day, basically all morning, to come to my son's basketball games. Two games with like an hour in between. So that's 3 hours that they're committing or more to come and be with my sons. And they said, we're going to come. They watched the game. And so after the game, imagine two college guys come walking onto the court to celebrate with a kid, one of our kids. And how excited they were. And the other kids are like, wow, look at that. All of these people that care and come. I think of my sons. We had a life group that was going on. And they decided, hey, this week for life group, we're going to go to my son's end of the year program. So all of a sudden we had, and it was in a church, and we had a huge section full of people that were all there to celebrate my sons. And how excited that they were that people were there to listen and that they cared and they were excited with them. All of these touches that happen, it truly is the family of God coming together to encourage the kids, to help them grow as disciples. And I think of this, you know, the school system, they want to have a 1-to-20 ratio. At least that's what they tried it to get to. One teacher to 20 students. A lot of times they can't do that. But I was thinking, what if in the church we had a 5-to-1 ratio? A 5-to-1 ratio is a lot better. But I'm not talking one adult to five kids. I'm talking five adults that are pouring into each one of our kids. Five adults that say, I'm going to pour into that child and that child and that child. And they become like your grandkids. They become like your sons and daughters. You mentor them. You encourage them. You walk with them. I imagine what would happen. Because I think about this generation that's out there, the millennial generation and then the next generation. You know one of the things that they're afraid of? They're really afraid of making mistakes. And you know what they really want, a lot of them? A mentor. a mentor. They want somebody to walk with them, to encourage them. We can do that in the church. We can be a part of that here. And so today, we celebrate moms. Those that have kids and those that come alongside kids. And so I wanted to encourage you that the Eugene Church needs moms. The kids at the Eugene Church of Christ needs moms. And broader than that, Eugene needs moms. Kids in Eugene needs moms. And so if you're going to join this movement to be a mom to our kids, then make it a commitment to invest in a kid, to talk to a kid today. Make a commitment that we're going to stand in a minute, and make a commitment that when you stand, that's a commitment that you're making. You're saying, I'm standing up for our kids. I'm standing up because I'm committing before God and my brothers and sisters that I am going to be in kids' lives. I'm going to pour into them. Stand with a commitment that you will invest in the kids that are here and that will come in the future. And as you do that, experience the joy and the love that comes as we do that. And then you'll be living out what Jesus says when he says, go make disciples. Because you will truly be making disciples of the next generation. Consider that as we stand and sing.